Start top of Peihara. You continue. Yesterday, the Gemara discussed the Yossi's position with regards to cleaning one's clothes versus cleaning one's body, and how that it was imperative that a person clean their clothing versus clean their clothes, their body, because the lack of clean clothing brought someone to Shemuta, right? Brought them to a state of insanity, which was not so curable, versus one's unclean body that brought them to, you know, boils, blisters, that was curable. And they say, Shalchu Mitam, from over there, they sent, he said, Haru Bar Bovito, be careful with washing one's clothes, meaning that the lesson learned from Rabbi Yossi's position is that one should be careful to launder their clothing to stay clean or keep their clothing clean. Now, the Gemara is going to go through a number of examples of Hizharu and then continue through this a little agarata now in this piece here. Now, Hizharu v'chabura. So when they said Hizharu bar buvita, be careful with laundering one's clothing. The next thing is Hizharu v'chabura. So, number of interpretations, for instance, Tosfos says that you should learn in a group, right? The Rosh says that you learn in public, Rabim Kimik Prabhupada Zev said, when you learn in open space or out loud, you can get, you mean in Bechavrusa or with others, that gives you, strengthens your learning, it helps you out, and I think the Ran himself says that, yes, Talmidim Mechadidim Zev et Arav. If it's a teacher, you should teach to students because the students help sharpen the Rebbe and each other. So there's a value in not learning alone. There's a value in learning in groups or together. Then his haru bin ebin aniim shmehem teitze Torah. Be careful of those that are poor, because from them will come Torah. So what does that mean, aniim? So that one should not either be mizalzel in the aniim, right? Think, they're from the poor, they're not going to be able to learn, or that they can't pay for the learning, and therefore one person might not be able to, you know, be willing to teach them Torah, but you should continue to teach them Torah, and you should try to teach them Torah, because from the aniim comes Torah, shnemar yizal mayim yidalyo, right, that the water flows from dal, we were playing the word dal, is those that are poor. So water, which is the representative of Torah, will flow from those that are poor, shmehem teitze Torah. So how come, why do we look for, the Gemara in other places says, well, why does Talmud Torah coming from the Amei Aretz, or, on the other hand, with the other possibilities, why does Torah come from those that are poor? Why particularly does it come from those that are poor? So it says, because Talmud Torah does not follow from a Talmud Chacham, another Talmud Chacham. Amar Rav Yosef, Shelo Yomru Torah Yerusha Hilayim. The reason that a Talmud Chacham, his children, that don't necessarily continue that path or become great Talmidei Chachamim, is because we don't want people to say that it's a Yerusha Hilayim, that it's a inheritance to them. So that's a question about who's speaking, who will say that it's an inheritance. One possibility is that the Talmidei Chachamim themselves, those that are in that lineage, will say it's a Yerusha Hilayim, and they won't have to try so hard. They won't have to learn so hard, they won't have to try so hard, because they would, it's coming to them to be in that, to be in the world of Torah. Whereas others suggest that it's people looking from the outside in, right? We'll look at them and say, why should we try to learn? Because these people have it. You know, they already have a monopoly, a corner on the Torah, and therefore it doesn't pay for us to learn the Torah. So that was explaining, I think, a continuation of the statement before about the Aniyim, that the Bnei Aniyim are the ones that come to Torah because they have no distractions. Again, because their poverty doesn't allow them to have distractions, and therefore they're able to put their whole self into the Torah. And number two is that they're not usually coming, they're not usually the Bnei Talmidei Chachamim, right? They're outsiders. And therefore, they have the mazal of having the ability to become Talmidei Chachamim, because we have the other side of it, which is that Hashem doesn't necessarily allow Talmidei Chachamim, let's say it's me Talmidei Chachamim. So Rabbi Yossi says the reason is because we don't want to say it's Yerusha Hilahem. The reason is that they will not become heavy-handed, right, on the tzibur. You know, they won't be haughty, they won't put pressure on the tzibur because they feel already that they, you know, it's their right to be, or to lord over the tzibur because, look, they have their Yerusha and Torah, they've been involved in Torah all these years and they can look down upon others. Either way. Rabbi Mezuzah says it's not a chashash that they will, but that they do. That when this does happen, that's what they do. They are mitgabrim or mitgabrim or mitgadrin ala tzibur. And therefore, we don't want it to continue in order to prevent that.
Or maybe he's saying that this is some kind of mida, negative mida reaction to their behavior.
It's a consequence rather than the others sounded like it was
preventative measure, right?
But being that they're all preventative, or being that they're all, then one could assume that this is also a measure. So it's either way.
Right. Okay. It's fair. And Mishem Mitzkejun Al Tzibur Vashimur Mishem Tikaru the Inche Chamare, because they call people Chamorim. Because again, they will look down upon those that do not learn Torah, call them, you know, animals, or call them Chamorim, which is an animal that's not so smart. So they will look down because of their, you know, lineage of Torah. They will look down upon others who don't have such a lineage, who don't have Torah like that, and therefore, again, like the Sri suggesting, therefore they will not. Hashem doesn't allow it to happen, so that we won't have this problem. Or again, mida keneged mida, the fact that they look down upon others, right? Then the mida keneged mida, that they end up like those others, meaning that Torah does leaves their lineage, or leaves their line.
Saying that Hashem doesn't allow it to happen might be a little bit strong. And so Hashem makes it difficult for it to happen.
Right.
Although
that's the statement. The statement is, mipnei ma ein mitzurim tamei chacham, let's say mitamei chacham b'neim. Why doesn't it happen?
Because it's mitzurim, it's not common.
Right.
There's a coming to correlation here with Ram that Aniyim tend to be humble and humility is a prerequisite for becoming great in Torah knowledge. So therefore, you know, if all these other things, if one becomes haughty because of his Torah knowledge, clueless, so that makes it more difficult for their children to become. But I guess if you have someone who teaches the children to be to remain humble, so they have a chance to overcome that.
Yeah. Again, circumstances sometimes are against them because just the being born into that world of privilege of knowing Torah, right, means that a person makes less effort to be acquired in Torah, and that might in and of itself cause them not to reach the heights or the right to follow in the footsteps of their parents. All right, so now Rabbi Amar Shem Bevarchem Torah Tzchila. The reason that it doesn't happen, excuse me, is because they don't make a Birkas Torah first. Right, I'll skip explaining it now, and then we'll do the next piece of the Gemara, and then we'll come back to explain it. Tell me, Yehuda Marab, you know what it says? My dichtiv. What does it say in Yirmiyahu? Mi ish achacham yunetzot? Right, who is the chacham? Who uttered this sin? This that the in Yirmiyahu, the Navi is asking, Aman nevdaha aretz. Why was the land destroyed? Why Bnei Yisrael were put into galut? Why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Aman nevdaha aretz. So davar zeh nishal chachamim ulinidvim. Right, this question was asked to the Chachamim, that's Me'ayish HaChacham, right, V'vinetzot, right, that who will understand the Nevi'im, and to Nevi'im below Pirshu, and they were unable to explain why Bnei Yisrael were put into Galus. Achi Pirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'atzmo, so Hashem himself explained it, as the Sukkim continue in Yirmiyahu, D'chtiv Ayom Hashem Al Azvam Torati, that they did not, that they left my Torah, right, and that they did not, Lo Shamu B'Kali, and V'lo HaChuba. So that's how the pasuk reads. So the Gemara says, well, Azvam Torati, they left the Torah. That's the rest of the pasuk says, Haini lo sham ubikoli, they didn't listen to my voice, and Haini lo achuba, and they didn't follow the Torah. So what does it mean, Azvam Torati? You can't repeat the same thing three times as being the problem. So Amarvido Marav, Shein Mavarchi, Mashalo Barachubit Bar Torah Tzchila, that they didn't make a Birkas Torah first. So that was the reason for the galut, for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
That's Lashem Abikoli, is it the Mashmiya the Bracha?
No, that's Lashem Abikoli, is they didn't listen to my voice. I mean, that's not the explanation of
Drasham.
The Drasham is Azvam Torati, that they left my Torah. I mean, that, because if it was literally leaving the Torah, that is Lashem Abikoli, they already left it, right? So you've already covered not listening to Hashem or not listening to the Torah. So Azvam Torati is, right, Shelo Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila. So what does that mean, Shelo Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila? Right, so that, look in the Ran. We'll go to the Ran for the first explanation. Look in the Ran. This is a famous line. It's a famous Gemara in the Dharm. If you remember it, Pei Aleph. It's quoted many times, this Gemara, about Azvam Torati, because there are many places in Erech and others where the Gemara states that the reason that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is because they violated the three big Aveirot, right? They violated Shichus Damim, Gilui Arayos, and Avodah Zarah. Whereas the second Beis HaMikdash, right, they were Shomrei Torah, but they were Lo Nagu Kavod Lazer, Yatzinat Chinam. So that's a question about what the Gemara is after. Number two is why is that a sufficient reason to destroy the Mikdash? Right, just because they didn't make Birkas Torah, here they're learning and they're doing all this Torah, why is it that they, right, lost the Beis HaMikdash over Shlo Baruch Hu B'Torah that he left, that they didn't make a Birkas Torah first? So the Ran, start with the Ran on this. Davar zeh nish'al chachamim, the Ran. So cross from where we are in the Gemara. Davar zeh nish'al chachamim lo pirshua. Cross from there on the right. Mechtiv ayom Hashem al azvam et torati mechlal. Teleka di yodla durei taimah. Nobody knew how to give a reason. Ela kutcha b'richu b'lechud. Except Hashem. Matzati b'migilat starim al rabbeinu yonazal. So I found written down in a secret, in a book or a copy of what the Rabbeinu Yonah had said, the Kura Hachi Dayit, that the Pasuk is mashma this way, Dashlo Baruch Hu B'Torah Tzchila Avda Aretz, because of the, so that they didn't make the Birkas HaTorah first, that's why the land was lost. Im Ita Al Azvam Et Torati Ki Pashka, right, if it was a simple Pashup Shat that they left the Torah, mashma Shaz Vlet HaTorah V'Lai Yoskim Ba, that they didn't learn Torah, Ken Shishal V'Chachamin Nevim, Lama Lo Pirshua. If that's the case, why couldn't the Chachamin and the Nevim themselves figure out that was the problem? Had they left Torah, it would have been a simple answer. And so the fact is that they didn't. But Galui Haya, but Kalafarish, it would have been obvious and easy to explain. Elavade Uskimayu B'Torah Tamid. They were learning all the time. And that's why it was inexplicable why the land was lost. So Hashem explained it. Shehu Yodeya Amkei Leiv. He knows the depths of the heart. Shalei Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila. He understood that they didn't make a Birkas HaTorah first. Klomar, Shelo Haita Torah Chashuva Be'Einihem Kol Kach. The Torah was not chashuv in their eyes so much. Shehei Ra'ui L'Barech Alea. In order to make a bracha on it, Shelo Hayu Oskim Ba L'Shma. They were not learning Torah L'Shma. Shelo Hayu Oskim Ba L'Shma. Mitol Kach Hayu Mezalzulin B'Birkata. Because they did not learn the Torah L'Shma. They were Mezalzulin B'Bracha. Ha'ina Lo Halchuba. Means they didn't follow the way of Torah, which is to learn the Shema, to learn Torah the Shema. These are the words of Rabbeinu Yonah Chassid. They are good and appropriate to the one who said them. So that's the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the lack of Birkas HaTorah was evidence of a limud Torah that was not lishma, that was not done lishma. So there are a number of explanations. One simple explanation is that they treated Torah like any other intellectual pursuit. Meaning that they viewed Lamudei Kol, their Lamudei Kodesh, Lamudei Kol, they viewed their learning of Torah not to be of primary importance, to be the center, but rather as another pursuit of knowledge, to gain knowledge, to be an expert. And therefore, their pursuit of Torah was equal to other subjects, and other subjects, there's no bracha before them, so to Torah. They did not feel the need for making a bracha for Torah because it didn't look different. It wasn't different. It didn't guide. It wasn't a guiding part of their lives. It wasn't everything. And everything being a subset or reverted to the Limud HaTorah, and therefore they were not b'tchila, they did not make the bracha beforehand. And that lack of bracha was evidence of not learning Torah lishma, but rather learning Torah for the pursuit of knowledge.
Right.
I don't know if it is. That's possible. Right. So I don't know. I'm not sure that's what Ramban is quoting. Rizalzim bebrikata means that they ignored the bracha. They treated it. But you could say what you're saying. I'm not saying. I think you could say what you're saying. I'm not sure that's the pasuk said of what's written here. Rizalzim bebrikata means literally that they were. They forgot about it. They treated it, right? They didn't give respect to the bracha, meaning that they didn't say it. But
probably it's probably in a bracha, sorry, maybe as bad mm-hmm. to say it and really not be invested in its meaning as to not say it at all.
Right, so that is the approach of others. We can say there's the, I'll give you a couple of shatim. One is the pre-tzadik. Says that the problem is the second bracha that we say by Birkas Torah, we say by Harev Na. The Torah should be right sweet in our mouth, sweet to us, and that the failure to make the bracha, or according to Gedalia is suggesting over here, the failure to say the Kavanah was that people did not view the Torah in a way that it was sweet, meaning that they didn't see the sweetness of Torah, right, the privilege of learning Torah. And the excitement of coming to the Torah every day, and that was missing, and that was Harev Na, that the bracha of Harev Na. The lack of that bracha showed a certain either apathy or lack of understanding of the position of Torah by not making the bracha beforehand. And again, if you didn't, what's saying with that, a kavanah, not understanding how one's approaching or how one is coming to Torah.
I've seen the word down also that. One wants one's children to be Talmidei Chachamim, so there's a particular kavanah on that bracha, and on some brachas Kriyashma.
Rav Asher Weiss brings down about that. The way to pass towards one's children is through Rav Na, is the sweetness of Torah. If you give the sweetness of Torah, that's how it's passed down.
They won't look at his immersion.
Right.
It's also in line with Melech. Melech Avadiah, who was the king, right? Avadiah?
Navi.
It was a Navi. So who was the king that didn't show off the Kinevashal based rabbi? Instead, he brought him to the Otros. He brought the Melech.
Right. That's smart. And
with
Chizkiyahu,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was Chizkiyahu, right. Melech Chizkiyahu, he didn't. So there also, it was because he didn't mashiv the Torah. Right. And because of that, he ended up being attacked.
Right. He lost it. Right. I don't know if that was right, the reason, or the problem that he showed off the old throats, that he left him into the base of Mikdash. Alright. So the other possibilities, the Chasam Sofer has a shot here that there's a difference between Limud HaTorah LaMaaseh and Limud HaTorah for Torah's sake itself. Now, if one learns Torah simply to know what to do in the mitzvot and to perform the mitzvot, then Torah wouldn't necessarily require a bracha, because we have a principle that you only make a bracha on something that is gemara siyata, right? That is the completion of the asiyah. So anything that is a hekshem mitzvah, something that allows you to, or is a continuous that goes on, we don't make a bracha on. So, for instance, building the sukkah, right? Putting together tzitzis, right? That's gemara menachos. You don't make a bracha on making tzitzis. We don't make a bracha on building the sukkah, because that is not gemar asiyata. Right? That's not the end of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only performed when we sit in the sukkah or when you wear the tzitzis. And therefore the bracha only applies at that point in time. So if one would simply learn for the purpose of for lamaaseh, to do the mitzvot, then Torah would be no better than a mitzvah in the sense that it wouldn't be gemar siyata. The learning is only a vehicle to do the mitzvot afterwards, and therefore would not require a bracha. Number one, and number two is it would only have the status of a mitzvah, right? It wouldn't have the protective power of Torah, but rather only have the status of a mitzvah, which is a lower level of protection. We say, right, Torah or ner mitzvah v'torah or the mitzvah is equivalent to a ner. The Torah is like the light. is illuminated. The Torah is held on a higher standard. We see the Gemara Sota also, right, that by the girls, that the Levana Torah is much more protective of a person than the mitzvot. Torah is in a different height. But if one simply learns only for to do the mitzvot, the Torah is being brought down to the level of a simple mitzvah. Number one, it wouldn't be required to have a bracha on it, and number two is it would not have that protective power. And that's evidenced by their lack of birkas haTorah, that they weren't learning Torah, in a sense, Torah lishma, meaning that they weren't learning Torah for Torah's sake itself, meaning for the gathering of Torah and for the understanding haTorah, in that Dorosh v'kabel schar, the ability to get schar from just limud haTorah without the purpose necessarily of just b'maaseh, but just for limud haTorah's sake, for the sake of Torah itself. And the limud haTorah for the Torah's sake itself requires a bracha, because then it's gemara tziata, then the learning itself is the atziah. And number two is, then it brings, elevates Torah to the level of Torah, not simply a mitzvah. So that's what the Chazam Sofer says, the lack of because the Torah here was evidence of their bringing the Torah down to a much, to a lower level. I mean, bringing it down to the level of mitzvah and not learning Torah for Torah's sake, that they lack that limud haTorah. Last one, last explanation I'll give, we'll move on, again, because it's a famous Gemara, is that one that I heard from my brother-in-law. I probably won't do it justice, but my brother-in-law, Michael Cherish, who said over a beautiful board that the problem or the issue for the people during the time of the Beis HaMikdash was that they became the mitzvot, you have the proof in the Sukkim and the Novi, that they became, they came to become doing the mitzvot en route. You know, mitzvot anashim melumada. People who did it in a robotic way, that they were doing mitzvot, performing mitzvot in a way that was robotic. They came to Beis Hashem, they came to the Beis HaMikdash to perform the service, but they were missing the heart in the service. You know, they did everything, they were going through the motions without the feelings. And we know in general that any mitzvah, there's a mitzvah tzmidit, any mitzvah that's a continuous mitzvah, in general we don't make a, you know, we don't make a bracha on a mitzvah tzmidit. We don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that is continuous or endless, and then we don't make a bracha on it. For instance, gemilut chasadim, other types of mitzvahs that have no confines to them, right? We don't make a bracha on them. And the Gemara in Sukkah has to deal with the fact that why do you make a bracha on Sukkah when you sit in the Sukkah, right? And there Tosfos also deals with the problem, how can we make Birkas HaTorah if it's a mitzvah tzmidit? Why do we make a bracha on the Torah? So he suggests that that was exactly what was lacking. That there's a requirement by Torah, and actually Ma'amad Har Sinai, that says Hayom. That everything that to you, every day the Torah must be new in your eyes, as if it was given at Har Sinai on that day. And that's a feeling or an approach to Torah where a person is not, does not lack, right, the excitement of Torah and coming to Torah each day with a new feeling and a feeling of it being brand new and exciting, right, rather than the problem that they had that was mitzvot anashim lumadat that became robotic or just a, right, going through the motions. So if one is simply going through the motions and learning Torah, not because it's exciting and new each day and viewed as new each day, then it becomes, quote unquote, a mitzvah tzmidit, it becomes a continuous mitzvah, which would not require a birkat haTorah. One only requires a birkat haTorah if, right, if you see it as new every day, if you see this Torah and the excitement of approaching the Torah as being something that is, right, given today, it was as if it was given from Har Sinai today, and you have a privilege to come each day and face the Torah and to learn the Torah, then you would require a birkat haTorah. And that lack of birkas haTorah was evidence of that feeling towards Torah, that approach towards Torah and being missing at that time. And that's why they were, that's why they ended up with the destruction of the Mikdash. I mean that Shem took away the vehicle which allowed them to go through the motions. I mean the Mikdash had ceremonies and performances that allowed the people just to do the acts without having to actually think about it and actually being engaged in it. And so Shem eventually took it away because they were not Baruch with Baruch HaTechila, they didn't make a Baruch HaTorah, meaning that they did not view Torah in a manner, the Beis HaMikdash being the continuation of Har Sinai, just like the Mishkan is, where that they should view it every day as that there's a new Har Sinai, there's a new giving of the Torah, both through the vehicle of the Mikdash and the learning of Torah. And that lack was a lack of Baruch HaTorah, was evidence of that, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Alright. So now we'll continue in the Gemara. Right, Isi Bar Yehuda lo atla mitivta de Rabbi Yossi. So this is going to actually continue from above. I live out of the Agadah now, back into the Gemara. So Isi Bar Yehuda didn't come to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yossi, Tlat Yomi, 3 days. Asher Chay Vardimus Bar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi, that Bardimus, the son of Rabbi Yossi, found him or bumped into him. Rashi says that this is the same as Rabbi Nachman bar Rabbi Yossi. I'm like, my time ago, Ati Mar the Beis Medrash. Why don't you come to the Beis Medrash, the Abel, Hatwatayom, in these last 3 days, why don't you show up? I'm like, he tamed avu klo yadana. Hey, he died. Right? If I don't understand what your father's saying, your father made a statement, I don't understand what he's saying, how can I come to the Beis Medrash? I'm like, lema mar mai, kamale, dilma yadana tamed. Why don't you tell me over what he said, and maybe I'll be able to help you out with the reasoning. My Hatatanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, the price that Rabbi Yossi says, Fisatam kodmi in the kaya chayrim. Right, so he says that yesterday we saw this, Rabbi Yossi has a position that when you have water, enough water for some to drink, and for the people of the city to drink, and the people outside the city to drink, and the people in the city to launder their clothing, those who are in the city to launder their clothing get precedence over others who needed to live, meaning that we give up other people's lives in order to launder the clothing. So he says, Krami Nola. Where's there such a pasuk that indicates as such? He says that is such a radical position that you cannot have this position simply by Sibara. You need to have a puzzle to back up such a position. And then we already explained the reason why the Kvisa is Kodim Lachayim, because the Kvisa sends people to Shesh Shimum, that's a Tzar Gufa. He says still it's such a radical position, as you all of you know yesterday, and therefore you need a puzzle to back it up. Malay Dekhtiv, it says, by the Arei Alevim, Mikushayim Yulabam Tam, right, that the Migashim, the land around the Arei Alevim, will be the Bam Tam, or the pasuk ends, Ulochol Chayatam, right, for all their, seems to be all their needs, right, all their livelihood. So what's Ulochol Chayatam? My Chayatam. Ulochol Chayatam. Ulochol Chayatam. Thank you. Migashim Yudvetam. Ulochol Chayatam. My chayatam. So what does that mean? Chayatam. Ilim a chaya. That chayatam means the word, from the word chaya, means animals. Hello. Chaya b'chal behema. You already have behem tam. You don't need to have chaya separately in the pasuk. The elamai chayatam chiyuta mamash. But their livelihood, pshita. Of course. What do you mean? That's why they, right? Why do you have those, or the, I don't know, if they're either their livelihood or the air around them? That seems so obvious. That's why you leave it over. So you can't say that's, you can't say that's the explanation, either because the whole Husham already covers that, or it's such an obvious, usage of the Migrash Shehem that wouldn't be the explanation of the Chol Chayatam. Elamai Chayatam, Chiyutam Mamash Pshit, Elav Kvisa. Must be for laundering. Chayatam is what? To help them survive. Meaning that what helps them survive or help them stay healthy? That is by laundering their clothing, right? So there'll be an area outside the city, the Migrash Shehem. Those open areas will be used for, you know, their animals, for their livelihood, and for laundering their clothing, which will provide them chiyut by preventing the tzara, the gufa, that comes from not laundering the clothing. And therefore you see that Migrashayim, the Torah points out that the Chol Chayatam, that is what the purpose of the Migrashayim are for, is to launder, and that would be an issue that takes precedence over others, because that is the purpose of the Migrashayim. That's the limud from the pasuk. So what is the, so that's the end of the end of this section of the Gemara. We're going to go into Inui Nefesh in a second. If you look in the Ran, in the not in the widest lines in the Ran, just before the section before the widest lines, or after the thin lines in the Ran, two lines in, it says Elalav Visa, right? Rikari Le Chayutam Inin Halacha Kaima Lanki Rabbanan, right? Basically, with the Inin Halacha, we pass them like the Rabbanan. You have the Rechitza Vekishut Nidra Inui Nefesh, that bathing and either perfume or makeup are idrei nefeshim, umefer ben leatzmo ben lecherim. Right, that the person can therefore, if it's inoy nefesh, it can be made for himself and for others. Yochid v'rabim alochim k'rabim. When it comes to a machokus chachamim, Rabbi Yossi, who you're going to pass them like chachamim. Right, number one, and number two is vote.
What?
Oh, the milsa.
This represents Rabbi Yehuda. That looks like Rabbi Akiva.
Mechavei Ro, below Mechavei Rav. But there it says Rabbi Yossi Nimuk. No, there it says Rabbi Yossi Rakhalifta Nimoko Imo. I think that's what it says. Nimoko Imo, that he always had the depth of the tom, that we passed him like him because he was always Nimoko Imo, that he always had the right tom. He understood his. That's Rabbi Yossi Rakhalifta. That he was a his explanations were considered no, I don't know if I'm not remembering correctly. Alright, so we're going to see further on that Shmuel, in the name of Levi, quotes the Chachamim in the Farsha of Be'ezrat Hashem. I'll explain it further on in tomorrow's daf. Alright? This again is tomorrow's daf. Even though Rav Huna says that our whole parak is Rabbi Yossi, we nevertheless we don't pass him. Like all the Mishnahs in this parak go according to Rabbi Yossi, that's what Rav Huna is going to say tomorrow. Despite that fact that all the Mishnahs go like Rabbi Yossi, we're not going to pass him like Rabbi Yossi. That's what the Ran says. But Aval Rambam Zal Pasak Mit Rav Huna Rav Yossi. Rambam Paskins like Rav Yossi because Rav Huna says the whole parak is like Rav Yossi. They made Rav Mishim the Dvarim Shebeino Levena. That Rechitza and Kishut are only Dvarim Shebeino Levena. All right. Now that's actually a good question whether Rav Yossi really holds it Rebeino Levena. That's the next Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ein Elu Nidre Inu Nefesh. Rabbi Yossi says that these things, Rechitz and Kishud, are not Inu Nefesh. Yibay Lahu. Rabbi Yossi, Ma'u Shi'ifra Mishum Tvar Mishum Beino Leveina. They're not Inu Nefesh, but they are Beino Leveina. Or are they nothing? Tashma, Amar Rabbi Yossi, in our Mishnah, he says, Ein Elu Nidre Inu Nefesh. Right, these are not Inu Nefesh. Avot Tvar Mishum Beino Leveina, Avyan. The deep is that they are Tvar Mishum Beino Leveina. Yomar says, Dimad Lidid Hukam Arlehu. He's answering what the Chachamim are addressing, right? For me, they're not even in the Parsha. He doesn't have any rights to be made for them, right? About the Didchud, according to you, who says they're in a Nefesh, Odali, they're in a Nidre Nefesh. I'll tell you, these are not Idre Inuay Nefesh. He's addressing what the Chachamim's position is. He's not explaining what his position is. He's just addressing what the Chachamim said. Chachamim said, this is Inuay Nefesh. He says, these aren't Inuay Nefesh. Not saying that these aren't Inuay Nefesh, but they are. They know they're not. So we can't bring a proof from our Mishnah.
I don't know what the Ran saw yesterday. The answer why we focused on one day. So the Ran said, why? Because it removes it from the realm of
right. Right, over there it would not even be Beino Leveina, but after that day it would not be in an effort, but it would be Beino Leveina. Right. Very good. So that's my. So what is the halacha? Rav Adar Rav Omer Mayfair. He can be Mayfair according to Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna Omer Einu Mayfair. It's Machlokes Amoraim here. What is the position of Rabbi Yossi? Shalom Atzino. This is a very interesting explanation. Why can he not be Mayfair the Nether? Rav Huna says, Shalom Atzino Shual Shemait Ba'afar Pir. That we never found a fox that dies in his own pit, meaning that in his own home. That despite this, what, that, how to explain this exactly is that it's not so clear to me. But that since this man is married to her and he spends time with her, and therefore you know despite her lack of bathing and despite her lack of kishut. Right, he won't die from that because meaning that it won't affect him. It won't be negatively affect him because he's used to it. Right, he's used to that. He's used to her being a dirtball, whatever it is that right this lack of bathing and Kisha does. It's not something. Now we should have begun other explanations. I'm not sure talking about the sayar and hair and other things. I don't understand them totally. So that's why I'm not. Quoting them over there, I'll just make it clear to you that the Tosafot says what we're just saying. From this reason, she will not become disgusting to him. She's used to it. It's his wife. He married her. That's not something that's going to change his position about her. If she does it, she becomes a little uglier or a little dirtier. That's not going to affect his love for her. That's what he tells us, and that's what I'm explaining. Rashi and Ran give explanations dealing with dealing with her hair down below. I don't really understand their explanations and that they're worried about. So I'll leave it. I'll point them out to you, but I don't really understand them. All right. Tanya Kavesi the Rav Adar Bar Abba. There's a brace that supports the position of Rav Adar Bar Abba, who says that you can be made for that. Rabbi Yossi holds that in the very Beno Lebeina, you can be made for. Dvarim Sheish Bam Inu Nefesh Mefer. Ben Beino Leveina, Ben Beina Leveina Chayri. Inu Nefesh, he has the right, the husband has the right to be made for whether they deal with him or whether they deal with others. That's what we saw earlier in the Perek, that Inu Nefesh, the person has the right to be made for them even if they are applicable or even with regards to a Chayri. If it's not even if it's binah lebinah mefer, then only issues that are between him and her he can be mefer. Binah lebinah chirei meino mefer. Between her and others he cannot be married. Ketsa, what's the case? Amra konim peros alai. If she says that all peros in the world restricts peros alai, harzei yefer, then he could be mefer because guess what? I'll give away the gemara now. Who's the one who says that peros are inu nefesh? Right, that is Rabbi Yossi. Right, so Rabbi Yossi is the author of this brace, obviously. Konim sheni yosei lepiabu lepiachicha lepiachicha lepiachi. Right, said I will not do for your father, for your brother, for my father. My father, your brother, your father, or my brother. Shalot in heaven lefnei beemtachar. I will not feed your animals. Or my lefnei beemtachar. Give water to your animals. Ain yachol apir. That he cannot be mayfair. I mean that all of these, even though they're an inconvenience and they're not something that normally, I mean, it's hard for her to resist or. Or is it hard for her not to do these items because these are part of the daily routine or common items that would take place? Nevertheless, he does not have the right to be paid for them because they're not eating that fish and they're not tvarim shebeino lebeina. I just point out that she's not meshuba to feed his animals, even though the Gemara in Ksuba says that we can be kofenotah, we can force her to feed his animals. That's only when she doesn't bring in enough help to the marriage to do that. But if she brings in enough help to the marriage, she's not required to do these items. So let's assume that Bryce is talking a case where she has enough help not to do these items. Right? I will not put on makeup, I won't put on the blush or eyeliner, whatever these items are. Right? I will not have marital relations. You can be made for because these are issues between him and her. I will not make your bed. I won't pour you a cup. I won't wash you. He doesn't have to do a far because she is meshubad to him to perform these items. And then, if you remember from the Gemara Ksubos, even if she brings in shvachot, even if she brings in help to the marriage, she still is required to perform these items because these are dvarim shel chiba and kiruv. Right, these are items that bring a husband and wife closer together. So despite the fact that she has enough help, she's not allowed to sit around because she goes shamim, right? She goes crazy. It's not a good thing to sit around idle, number one. And number two, these are particular items that are special between a husband and a wife. Therefore, they're restricted when a woman is in nida. Right, these are the items that a woman can't do for her husband when she's in nida, because they are darer shekiru hadas, things that bring chiba to the husband and wife, and therefore they also are required for the wife to do for the husband, or they're demanded, even in an instance where she has help, in order to keep that alive, to keep that kiru hadas, and that love alive. And therefore he doesn't have to do a far, because she's meshubad, meaning that it's an obligation, she has to her husband, she can't get rid of that obligation. Rabbi Gilel Omer Yefer, he should be made fair anyway. Shenemar lo yachel dvaro. All right, that you should not violate her word. We'll see that explanation in a second. Anyway, this actually connects back to our Gemara yesterday that the first time what my brother-in-law said pshat again that a person should keep their marriage fresh and alive. That a woman should, these items are items that are come out of love and connection and closeness to the other individual. And so to perform them, right, again is the sign of that love and that connection that they still have, and to keep the marriage fresh and alive, versus if they're done by route or if they're just not done at all, right, that's evidence of staleness in the marriage. Alright, now I'll read the next line. Alright, when should I violate their word? It says, Lo yachel dvaro, you cannot be meichel, aval acherim lo kulim lo. Other people can be meichel, that's how we know you can do a taras nedarim, but a taras nedarim must be done by someone else and not yourself. Right, I'm going to read the Gemara and I'll come back to this in a second. Man shmainin, the amr shalo echol shalefkos, the rem shabin al beina. Who says the kishut? Right, is a davar shebeino lebeina, habin, Rabbi Yossi, it must be Rabbi Yossi, because our Mishnah, who's the one that comes, say, Eloes Kasheit, is davar inui nefesh. So who says that not putting on makeup is davarim shebeino lebeina? That is Rabbi Yossi. And also, Konim Peres Alai is also Rabbi Yossi's inui nefesh. Such evidence that our brisa is Rabbi Yossi. And yet we see that he holds the position that he is able to. So even though Kishud is not inui nefesh, nevertheless, he says that they are dvarim shebeino lebeina. Alright, so now just to go back, what does it mean that whenever Gamaliel says that he should be mefer anyway? Even though the neder does not chal, What does it mean, Lo Yachel Devaro? That he should still be made from the Neder because Lo Yachel Devaro. So, what the Rosh explained is so that she should not be Mezalzal in a Neder. I mean, the fact is that she's taking a Neder. In order to prevent her from being Mezalzal in a Darim in general, we say, wait, Tuha Hapara, to show her the only reason that she's able to violate this Neder now is because of the Hapara. And not that she should come to believe that when she takes Nedarim, they don't have Tokyo, they don't take effect. In that it's an Atu. We worry about this, Atu this, meaning that if, you don't make, if we're not made for this Neder, she will come to treat Nedarim in an inappropriate manner. That's one way to learn. The problem with that explanation, this is what the Ram points out, is what's the Davar Acher? Davar Acher is a drush on the pasuk Lo Yachel Devaro, you should not violate your word. Mikala Hachem Shein Matir Nidra Latzmo. Whereas Lo Yachel Devaro in the first explanation is a smakta. It's a Chavim required to do a fara in order that it doesn't become a problem in the future. So what is the drush? What is the Davar Acher? What one case you're saying that the Chavim say something, right? And the next one you're saying it's a drush on the pasuk. So the Ron says that's inconsistent, but then he says, I'll explain it though, that really, Lo Yachel Devaro, that Rabbi Gamliel is really being Doresh the Pasuk. This is very interesting. That a person, by deeper Alma, it's an amazing line that he says here. Alright, I'll just say it outside. I don't know where it is exactly right now, but he says, the Ron says that Lo Yachel Devaro comes to teach you that one should not violate their word, not only when it comes to Nedarim, but even Devaro. That's the drasha that Rabbi Gamliel is making. Devaro was just simple Dibor. That a woman, she said something, right, and she should be held to that, and the reason we need Hafara here is to prevent, that people should understand that when they say something, right, that they are accountable for what they say. They have to hold up their word. Keeping your word is important, even when it's not in the form of a neder. And therefore, Lo Yachel Devaro, the drasha of Rabbi Gamliel, Lo Yachel Devaro means even a davar, even a simple davar, right, is required of you to keep. And therefore, you have to do a hafara here so that there shouldn't be a problem of Lo Yachel. And again, that is a drasha. And same thing with the following, and then the drasha after. The davar acher is another drasha on Lo Yachel Devaro. Which is, that's why there are two drashot. Again, one drasha is that we hold her to her word, and therefore we do a fara. And number two is, even though it's not a fara like we know, meaning it's not necessary, but we do it to show that one's word has tokif, and one speaks it has value, and one should keep their word. And so too, the second drasha is, Lo Yachel Devaro, that he can't do, one can't be matir neder himself. And therefore you have two drashas that make sense, the flow of the Gemara now. All right. Says it near Beinai. It's in the Ron. I'm sorry, I just found it in the Ron. If you want to see near Beinai, there I'm going to mark Yekrei Devaro Kadosh. A few midday, the low Mikrei Neder, even something that's not called a Neder, a Dover Alma, something just a speech, a manner of speech. Amar Krod Lo Yachel, you shouldn't violate your word. And he's a low lucky alay, even though you don't get Malchus. He came to Efshar Bafara, Lo Afara Lo Yachel. That since there's a possibility of Bafara, you should do Afara and not violate that which you said. Right. So now the Gemara continues. Shloish amish mitati, that I will not have marital relations. Yafir mishum tvarim shebinonot. He's made for the nether because of issues between them. Maybe that's an issue between tvarim shebinonot. Echidam, what's the case? Idil amra hanat tashmishi alecha, that you can't get benefit from my tashmish. Lamali afar. Why do you need her for all? Hamishu betitle. She's mishuba to him, and that's one of the requirements of marriage. So that I will not get any benefit from your, from tashmish from you. If she says, my hanoa tashmish is restricted to you, then we are force her to have marital relations, because she's mishuba to the husband. She doesn't have a right to take such an error to restrict him in this. But hanoa tashmish cha alai, if she restricts the hanoa from him on her, yefer, then you need a force. She'im machulin zadam devar asrulo. We don't feed a person, right, a chatichashal isura. And therefore here she made this husband into a chatichashal isura to her. And even though he has a right to tashmish with her, since she now restricted, made him into a chatichashal to her, we don't force her to have relations with him. So either they have to get divorced or they do hafara. Montana.
No, really, it's the master.
Well, it's...
can't depend on those things with her husband, which is...
Oh, that's the outcome, right. But how she restricts it makes a difference. I mean, that's what Rukhana's point is. Rukhana's point is that if you have an obligation, in a case where you're... we have this in another place. You can, by Nadarm, we know Nadarm can be Okra Mitzvah, right? We know that in general. But you can't be Okra Mitzvah head on. In that you can't take a nether to be okra. If a outcome of your nether is that the mitzvah is mevutal, then it works. But you can't go and sit. So you can't go ahead and say, I will not sit in the sukkah. That you can't do. Right? But if you say, Hanat sukkah alai, right, then that could prevent you from doing a mitzvah because, say, there's no other sukkah. Or there's a net sukkah. Or you have that by Shahayayin or Shabbos. There are certain other instances where we saw that the neder, if you take a neder that's directly against the mitzvah, then it doesn't work. But if you take a neder whose outcome is the preventing of doing a mitzvah, that is allowed. That the neder has enough power to be upheld in that instance. Same thing over here. So if she goes and takes a nether that he cannot get any, that her hanas, tashmish of her is restricted to him, she can't do that because that's something where she is mishubad. That's the mitzvah, and there she can't take that on directly. I mean, it's necessarily a mitzvah, but that is her obligation, and she can't undermine her obligation for a nether. Whereas when she says hanat tashmish alai or tashmish alai, when she restricts his hanah on her, there she's not taking on the mitzvah. There she's not blocking the mitzvah directly. An outcome of her nether is now she will not be able to perform the tashmish, but that when she took the nether was an item that was not restricted from her, she was not mishubad in. And therefore the nether is chal, and when the nether is chal, then it will prevent her from doing a mitzvah. We said prior that preventing one doing a mitzvah, that's not a reason to undermine a nether. So that's the difference. The difference between these two cases is which side is she taking? She's undermining the shibud, which she can't do, or she's doing something that in the future will prevent her from performing that shibud, and that she can take. And when she does take it, then it is a sur. She cannot perform the mitzvah. She cannot perform the act of tashmish. Who's the one who says that when someone does, even though something is mutar, others are osir, that means if other people have the minhag to be osir, that you're not allowed to, in front of him, be noeg heter. Because you would not... we don't want you to violate your word, or we don't want people violating that which they kept. Minhag, right? It's like a nether, we've seen that. That once a person does something, a gmaisa tov, over a number of times, or a minhag tov, right, that's what we saw earlier, is the equivalent of a nether. So the Gemara says, Shenemar lo yechel dvaro. The Gemara says, because you should not violate your word, or that which you've taken as a nether. So v'achel lo yechel dvaro, mikam tamakachom shenu mefer nidre atzmo. So guess who's the author of that? Mani, Rabbi Gamliel. That's Rabbi Gamliel who darshan the pasuk as such, that one should, when they say lo yechel dvaro, is one should not violate their word. One possibility, again, why this is similar to Nidarim, because the Prophet said lo yechel dvaro is so that she should not treat the neder, right, in a light manner. We don't want her treating the neder lightly because then she will come to be no heter in other nidarim. So we say lo yechel dvaro, that she's too afar in order that she doesn't act rightly. Same thing over here. People have something that's usur. If you're no heter in front of them, they won't understand that the reason that you're acting a heter in front of them is because what they're doing is only a minhag or only a chumra. And therefore, when you're no heter in front of them, they're going to come to think that, you know, the words of chachamim or the Torah aren't so important. You know, just like over here, we saw that he did this. He didn't listen to the Torah in this case. Maybe we don't have to listen in other cases. So again, you have the same problem. And therefore, we say, lo yechel dvaro, that a person shouldn't act in this manner in front of others. Or the way that the Ron gave the explanation above, lo yechel dvaro means one should not violate their word. Again, that if you are matir, these people, to act in a way, they're violating that which was passed down to them, or that which they've kept their whole lives. And therefore they should not violate them. And who's the author of this statement? That is Rabbi Gamliel, as we saw above, who says that we darshan lo yechel in such a manner. If you look in the, we'll stop here, but if you look in the Ran, the Ran has second wide lines, Second widest lines in the Ran, Devaro Mani Rebbe Gamliel, he, that's the beginning of the line, the Dorish, Devaro Lamar, that people meet, Isheno Nether Gomor, even though that's not a complete Nether, like Zebra Balma, right, so we explained above, right, that it was Zebra Balma, Filaki, Loyakel, Kadeshloin, Kaluk Rosh, Nederim Gumurim, they shouldn't treat Nederim inappropriately, how can I, Kim Shnagu Isib, Devarim Mutarim, Havile the Gabayo, Devarim Asurim, they become like things that are Asur, and it'd be inappropriate to be Noah Keter in Falem, because then they will come to be Noah Keter in things that are really Asur. Right, people don't know how to differentiate between, many times, people don't understand the difference between what's mitzvah derabanan, mitzvah deraisa, mitzvah zechumra, and it's a mistake, because then they come to make mistakes, they uphold chumrot in the way that it's deraisa, and they look at others violating them as if they're violating deraisa, so that's one problem, but also, problems is then if you're matir of chumra in front of them, then they take that to be a heter on the entire picture, rather than just understanding that it was a chumra ba'alma, or a minag ba'alma. Mikana yama umer Rabbi Yehuda Kohen Zal Shim Nohog Adam Solechol Basar Solishtot Yaim Zaman Miyuchad. Person doesn't eat, generally did not eat wine and meat in a certain period of time. Shu Brotzolishtot Yaino Lechol Basar. Now he wants to continue to eat or go back to eating meat and wine. Both as one, Tar Heter. He should get a Hetaras Nedarim. Because he is Nohag in a certain manner, a person acted in a certain way. And again, if he acts in a way that has reason behind it, again, if it's just Stam, then we don't require Hafar. But if it's a person's Nohag or has a minhag to do something, then they should get Hataras Nedarim in that instance when they want to go back to or reverse the minhag or the actions that they have.
Vegetarian, who wants to give up vegetarianism, they has to.
Right. Again, you have to have a reason that a reason that they did it. Right.